now we are going to talk to Dipali Ojha. Dipali, I'm so sorry, we're a bit late. I hope it wasn't so bad, but I think...
Yes. Hello, Dr. Rainer.
Yes.
And hello to everyone present in the meeting. I'm very happy to be here. I was here last time on 16th of July, 2021. And thank you so much for inviting me for an update from India today.
Yes, thank you for coming, and thank you for giving us lots of good news, because that is one of the few regions in this world where the judicial system still seems to be working.
Definitely, yes.
Okay.
So I have a lot of positive updates to share with the audience today.
Very good.
And may I start?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so to start with, I'll update the audience on some facts and background to some India-specific facts. In India, vaccination is not mandatory as per the central government guidelines. So at present, what we are facing is the state governments and the administrative officials in each state who have the power to issue the orders, administrative orders, are coming up with these unscientific, unconstitutional and illegal orders where they are indirectly forcing people to go in for vaccination. And if they do not go for vaccination, they are being prevented from accessing, say, shopping malls, or they are being denied access to food grains, which are available to them otherwise under public distribution system, so on and so forth. Now, like here in Mumbai, in the state of Maharashtra, where I reside, there came in a circular in the month of July, mid-July 2021, which said that all private organizations and public organizations must ensure that their employees are vaccinated, double vaccinated. Also, unvaccinated people will not be allowed to travel by railways. Now, railways are lifeline in Mumbai. There are millions of people who travel daily by railways to commute from their homes to workplaces and back. So they rely on this mass mode of transport, which is faster and which is cheaper. So this circular had come in mid-July, and we have challenged this particular order by filing writ petitions in High Court of Bombay. The matter is being currently heard. The last hearing had happened on 25th of October, 2021. Wherein the hearing went on very well, and we explained to the court what our point of contention was. And we also stressed upon the fact that vaccination is totally voluntary and it cannot be made mandatory as per the central government rules. And also we have cited Supreme Court judgments to support our contentions. And in the end, we have also paid in for criminal prosecution of all those officials who are involved in passing such unconstitutional orders.
Wow.
So now the next date for hearing is on coming Monday, which is 22nd of November. And we are going to file an additional affidavit, which the court has requested us to file, to bring in all the scientific evidence on record. The court wants to have, very India-specific evidence, the data which has emerged here in India. Because we have explained to court as to how vaccinated people can also catch infection. They can also spread the infection. And there is no point in discriminating between vaccinated and unvaccinated. Moreover, we have four other judgments coming in from other high courts of other states in India, which have passed the judgment which says there cannot be discrimination between vaccinated and unvaccinated. And even vaccinated persons can be super spreaders. So we have cited all these judgments to the Bombay High Court. And now we are very positive in the future hearings that take place very soon. Mm-hmm. Also, apart from this, there are a couple of petitions in Supreme Court of India, which is the apex court of India, of which one is being currently heard. And that particular petition is all about disclosing the clinical trials data and making it publicly available and making it transparent to general public so that people can come to know as to how the clinical trials were done and what are the possible side effects which the people are facing. So that also includes a prayer for making what we have similar in US VAERS data. Similarly, they would want to have tracking mechanism for vaccine injuries and vaccine deaths. So this is a separate petition which is being currently heard in Supreme Court of India. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been going on, this particular petition which I talked about in the High Court of Bombay. It is being filed in August 2021. And we have not stopped here after filing this petition. We at Indian Bar Association, of which I am a member, I am heading its legal cell. So Indian Bar Association has collaborated with other NGOs, NGOs like Awaken India Movement and several other regional NGOs, and also NGOs which are very active on the national level. There are activists, there are journalists who have now come together. We all are working towards it. And as a part of this activism, we have issued a lot of letters of representation to authorities, to government servants, to bureaucrats, making them the legal position clear and explaining them what the legal position is, and also exposing them that what they are coming up with, the circulars, the orders, are totally unscientific, unconstitutional. And as we see, the data is emerging every day from all over the world as well as in India. Like here in India, daily we get to read in the national dailies also, the mainstream media, as to how the hospitals are getting full with vaccinated people. And the results as to how people who have taken the first dose are also turning positive. And also we have some vaccine deaths which are being reported. Of course, they do not admit it, but they do sometimes, you know, in social media, people do reveal that a particular person who passed away after, say, first dose or second dose of vaccine had, in fact, it is quite possible that the person is a victim or he has suffered due to the vaccination. So we have tried to collate all data, and we are right now spreading awareness amongst all people and making them aware. And we are seeing a lot of positive outcome out of this, because a couple of months back, the awareness level was a bit lower and people were not aware as to what is this, what is the real game plan behind this vaccination. So we are trying to upload maximum, the data which has emerged from all over the world as well as from India on our website. And we try to circulate it and share amongst ourselves. And we, each one of us, takes a responsibility to, you know, daily educate people who are unaware of what exactly is this vaccine all about. So a few days back, a month ago, we had a very positive development here in the state of Maharashtra, which came up with a circular that allowed for medical exemption. So I have prepared a small presentation. If you permit me, I can share it for the audience.
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you. I request you to give me permission to share the screen.
Regie, ist das soweit klar? I'm asking. Okay, here we go.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what I have explained. And I have also shared the PDF with Corwin so that in case any of our audience would want to have a look at it later, we could provide them.
Excellent.
So I have shared. So these are the two public interest litigations, which I have just explained.
Mm-hmm.
I have provided links, so anybody can go and click on these links and read the writ petition, the next hearing being on November 22nd. Okay, now this is what I was talking about. We, in the state of Maharashtra, we are now allowed medical exemption, and Railways has come up with a circular. So I have explained as to how unvaccinated people are barred from traveling through railways.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the circular, which is public. And this states that the State Disaster Management Authority, with immediate effect, has changed the definition of a fully vaccinated person, which includes, there are three categories. First is, of course, one who has taken both the doses and 14 days have passed after the second dose. Second is what I'm trying to highlight, which says any person having medical condition that does not allow him or her to take the vaccine and has a certificate to that extent from a recognized doctor. So this has actually eased the burden, and a lot of people are relieved, because there is a group of people certainly who cannot go in for this blanket mandate.
Mm-hmm.
So they have certain conditions, pre-existing conditions, for which they do not wish to go in for vaccine. So they are taking the appropriate certificate, and now they can travel by railways. The third category is about person of age less than 18 years. These are basically children who we have not yet started children's vaccination, though they are trying fully to push for children's vaccination. But as of now, it is not allowed. It is not permitted. It hasn't started. Basically, school students and college students can at present travel by railways because they are in this exempted category. So this is a very positive development here. Mm-hmm. Now this is a very interesting. There is a research article which was published by a researcher, Mr. Johan Tengra, on 27th of September. And it is being published by international personalities also, David Icke, and on Health Impact News. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an explosive research wherein Mr. Johan Tengra has exposed the links of people who are a part of the National Task Force in India and their links with body like Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and with vaccine companies. Mm-hmm. So I have provided link to this article. And after studying this article, we have issued a legal notice to our Union Health Minister, Mr. Mansukh Mandaviya. It's a 223-page legal notice wherein we have highlighted to him about these links being exposed. And now we can make out as to, you know, why these unscientific mandates and irrational mandates are coming in, where exactly they are coming in from. Because it seems, because of the linkages of these people who are part of National Task Force, it seems they are not following science, but there is something else, maybe commercial interests that they are furthering. And it's not about public health or not in the interest of public health that the decisions they are taking is really driving them to do so. So we have highlighted and we have requested him to immediately replace those members and take them off the National Task Force. I have provided a link to this notice.
Oh, yes.
And then I have just mentioned what are the prayers. They are very specific to Indian scenario as to how asymptomatic tests for asymptomatic individuals should be stopped immediately how there has to be an investigation on these people, the links of whom have been exposed in the article, research article. So you see, these are 8 names that are being... So typically, these are the ones which we have highlighted, which we would want them off the National Task Force. On number 5, we have Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, the chief scientific advisor at WHO, about whom I had talked at length in my last meeting here. Mm-hmm. And others are also a part of the National Task Force. Please note the name number 2, second number, which is Dr. Cherry Gagandeep Kang, because I have something to share about her later. Mm-hmm. Now, these are our prayers in the notice. Okay, at the same time, there is a group of doctors which goes by name Doctors for Truth. So they are more than 100. So these doctors, along with more than 1,000 members of civil society, they have written a letter to our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, asking him to halt children's vaccination program and not to go ahead, not to consider vaccinating healthy children. And they have provided all the scientific evidences that they have, their personal opinions, and they have sent the signed copy. Now, Indian Bar Association agrees with all the contents of this letter. So we have sent, Indian Bar Association has sent a letter of representation to Prime Minister, and we have in fact requested for a CBI investigation. CBI is our premier investigation body in India, Central Bureau of Investigation, and as well as prosecution of certain people because they have played fraud on power. They have abused their positions. So this is our additional demand in our letter of representation.
So they are already investigating now?
We hope so. We have not heard from him. Mm-hmm. So now there is a typical time period which we wait for after the notice is being served. So in the absence of any reply, any response from them, we are free to file a petition in the court and seek redressal to our grievance. So mm-hmm. we will consider going to the court very soon about this issue. So now what happened after this letter, Doctors for Truth and the Civil Society and Indian Bar Association's letter went to the Prime Minister? You see, this is a news. This is, in fact, a video interview, wherein in between we see picture of Dr. Gagandeep Kang, Cherry Gagandeep Kang, And now she has taken a U-turn, and now she says government should not give COVID-19 vaccines to healthy children under 15, under the age of 15. I have provided link to this particular interview. There's another interview of hers on some other platform wherein she says that she's not sure yet if healthy kids need a co-vaccine. Now, a few months ago, she was the person who, in fact, was pushing in for children's vaccine. But today she says that there is no safety data. So it would not be in the best interest to recklessly go ahead and administer vaccines on kids who are healthy. So here is the 16-minute interview, and the link is also provided. Mm-hmm. So now as we approach our date, the court hearing approaches, there are certain positive developments also from the government. Here in Maharashtra, our state health minister, whose photo is being seen on the screen right now, Mr. Rajesh Tope, he has issued a statement last week saying that use persuasion and not coercion to boost vaccination. So this has not come out of blue. There is a background as to why this statement has come in. Around a couple of weeks ago, Indian Bar Association has issued a letter to general public and also addressing all the administrative officers, the bureaucrats who are the ones who are signing these orders of preventing unvaccinated people from getting food grains or accessing public places. So we have written a letter to them explaining and sharing all the scientific evidences that are available, providing links to each and every scientific study that has come in, the legal position in India, what are the Supreme Court judgments, what are the specific judgments of high courts as far as corona vaccines are concerned, which I said there are four judgments already in place. We have highlighted all these, and in the end, we have warned them that if they go ahead with this, they would invite criminal prosecution. And they should not forget that there have been deaths. In fact, one doctor aged 34 years, she was a dentist, and she died after her first dose of Covishield vaccine. Covishield in India, which is known by name AstraZeneca outside. Mm-hmm. So she expired, and the National Committee for AEFI, what we call Adverse Event Following Immunization. Now, this is a national committee which would study the case. They would study as to whether, you know, there is a causal relation between death and the vaccination. So as far as the death of this particular doctor is concerned, there is a report which confirms that there is a causal relationship between vaccination and death of this doctor. So we have also included this particular case as we have the AEFI report with us. And we have warned them that they would be charged of murder, attempt to murder, and intentional hurt, and other sections of our Indian Penal Code. So this particular letter went out. It was widely circulated. And at Indian Bar Association, we ourselves got calls from these particular health officers, the government officials. And they tried to confirm with us if the letter was genuine and what was, like, why we were issuing such letters. So we politely explained to them. We think most of them were not really aware of what was being asked of them, and they were not aware of the real situation and what's really happening. So we explained to them and we provided them additional data. So after this incident, we see the statements coming in from the health minister, and he says that, okay, don't use coercion, but please try to persuade people. So there is something like a door-to-door campaign that they have started, wherein they say that they would call people, they would like to know why they are not going in for first dose or second dose of vaccine. And immediately after this, we have a second statement wherein the same person, our health minister, state health minister, says that vaccination is not must for government schemes and facilities. A link to this article is provided at the end. It is reported in one of the mainstream newspapers here in India. Okay. So this is news, latest news dated 12th of November. And we see our Home Minister, Mr. Amit Shah. And there is a summit that had taken place last week in which this particular issue was also discussed amongst other things. So bottom line is now the central government says that we need to be cautious and listen to experts. So only because EUA, the emergency use authorization, has been granted for a couple of children's vaccines does not mean we recklessly go ahead and vaccinate our children. You see the article which is currently on the screen. If you see the second para, it says this decision, which is vaccine for children, needs to be taken very cautiously. We do not want to rush in administering vaccines to children. Children are the future of our country. The government will go by expert opinion, Mandaviya said, underlining that other countries have also been careful in introducing the jabs for children, even though emergency use authorization has been granted. So now they are having a very cautious approach. This is the central government stand. So state governments are desperate to, you know, to start with children's vaccination, and we are trying our level best to halt it and, you know, get our point across that healthy children definitely need no vaccination, and that this should not be a condition, or opening of schools should not be subject to children's being jabbed, which I think that is their, you know, they are attempting to, you know, get it opening of schools subject to children being vaccinated. This was definitely their plan, but because of our, volley of letters and a lot of back-to-back letters, representations going on, we definitely were successful in halting it for the time being.
What about, you told us last time that at least in one of your states, the alternative method of treatment in that particular case with ivermectin is definitely allowed, which is something that in many other countries, and probably some of the Indian states as well, prohibited. Does this still stand? Is it still possible to use alternative methods of treatment?
Okay, so ivermectin initially was included in a national protocol, the protocol that they have for dealing with COVID for adults. But on 23rd of September of 2021, this particular task force, about which we just discussed a few minutes back, about their links to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, this national task force came up with a revised guideline which said ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine will not be included. They are no more a part of our national protocol. But so this happened on 23rd of September 2021. But I'm sure doctors who are on the field are treating patients, they would consider recommending ivermectin in their good medical judgment, I'm sure, because ivermectin otherwise is available at pharmacies. Mm-hmm. So that is not an issue. But then we could see some foul play, you know, around these guys removing ivermectin from our national protocol. Mm-hmm. In fact, in one of the states by name Andhra Pradesh, there is a high court order from the High Court of Andhra Pradesh that there is a local medicine, a medical concoction, which is somewhere part of Ayurvedic medicine. It is being made, manufactured by a person called Dr. Anandiya, and the medicine is also Anandiya medicine. So that has cured a lot of people in Andhra Pradesh, state of Andhra Pradesh. And the High Court there has in fact passed an order to go ahead and give it to people. So, you know, that this is what the situation is in India. So we definitely have alternative systems of medicine like Ayurveda, homeopathy, naturopathy, and many other culturally, people who have faith in alternative systems of medicine. So they are going ahead with it. And in fact, they are the majority of them are with us who, you know, would want to take this fight ahead, because it's only allopathic medicine and only vaccine which are being imposed and forced upon us. Mm-hmm. So they form a majority of, people who are opposing this mandatory blanket mandates of vaccination. And that is now the awareness, a barometer, I can say, to reflect the level of awareness is clear from the news items which we keep reading of late, which says about, stockpiling of vaccines. So there are a lot of vaccines now, but there are no takers. And in fact, that's why they are going door to door, and they have established war rooms where they call daily lakhs of people and ask them as to what is the reason for not taking vaccination. And they call it vaccine hesitancy, but I don't think vaccine hesitancy is the right way to put it, because we have our questions. We have been shouting from the rooftops. We have been giving notices. So on none of the occasions, anybody has come back and answered our questions or have asked us as to what we are saying is true or false, or they have not come with their part of argument. So we know, where they lie today.
Do people in India, due to the campaign that you are part of, do people in India understand that institutions like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, is behind this? And do they remember that these institutions have, in particular in India, but also in parts of Africa, a very bad name?
Right. So we have tried to make them aware of the HPV vaccine scam that happened way back in 2009, of which I spoke in my last meeting here, when I had come here. So most of the people know by now that it's the pharma companies or this particular WHO and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation who have their vested interests in bringing in this pandemic and selling off their vaccines and taking off the liberties of people and making them dependent and taking control of their lives. So now majority of people are realizing. Even in rural areas, people might not know what exactly is Gavi by their names, but they are aware that there is much more than what meets the eye. Mm-hmm. A few months back, the situation was different. They believed and they were carried away by the mainstream media narrative, the government narrative, that vaccine is meant to save their lives. But now they can, because now they can see vaccine injuries with their own eyes, because they witness vaccine injuries or deaths in their families or in their friends that they are witnessing. So they have started doubting as to what exactly is the efficiency and how effective is this vaccine and what kind of fluid is being injected in their bodies. And we are trying our level best to reach and have a wider coverage and alert and make them aware of what's going on. So awareness level now is very high. And I'm very happy about it.
Does that... This includes the, I don't know if I understood this correctly, but it does seem to include that you are setting up a system similar to the VAERS system in the United States. Does that mean that such a system has not been in existence up until you and your people got behind this?
As I said, there is one petition in Supreme Court. It is filed by advocates based in New Delhi. Mm-hmm. They in fact are talking about streamlining this process of VAERS, where people can easily record their vaccine injuries or deaths or any issues that they face. We have not stepped in that area as of now, because there are other things that we are taking care of at the moment, as mandates are being tightened daily every day. And as I said, we have this system of AEFI, which is adverse event following immunization. Uh-huh. However, from the ground level information which we have is people are facing a lot of issues. Most of them do not know that they are supposed to register or inform this AEFI about problems that they are facing. So most of them are keeping the problems with themselves and they are just bearing it as it is. They are not aware about this process. And some who have knowledge, they tried to register their complaint, their grievance, but they did not get any response from the system. Mm-hmm. So there is a petition already in the Supreme Court, and I hope this point is being taken up very soon by the apex court here in India.
I have one other question. What about natural immunity? Because it is always alarming, at least to me it is, when I can see that the WHO is changing the definition of something. They changed the definition of what a pandemic is in 2009 in order to be able to make any common flu into a pandemic. And then this year they changed the definition of herd immunity by claiming that you can only achieve herd immunity through vaccination and not by natural immunity, acquiring natural immunity anymore.
Right.
What about
so goal
that?
Posts,
yeah.
Goalposts are changing every day. Mm-hmm. Their goalposts are changing every day. So, yes, we are, in fact, insisting on natural immunity here. The studies have come in, the Israeli study, which says a person who has recovered from COVID, he has a robust immunity, which is 13 times more than the vaccine-induced immunity. And we are citing this particular study and other studies of natural immunity in all the petitions. In fact, the additional affidavit that we are about to file, we have this point included, and mm-hmm. it is included earlier too. And we are in fact, we are stressing on the fact that a person who has recovered from COVID naturally is the safest person, and he will not transmit the infection. So he should be given exemption immediately mm-hmm. from everything, from masks and, you know, from travel. There should be no bar for him to travel and access any public places. So definitely we have taken up this point. And there are other organizations also which are stressing on this point and trying to make government hear about how effective is the natural immunity.
Mm-hmm. So the natural immunity, people who have overcome COVID and now have natural immunity, is that another one of the medical exemptions? The vaccinated, of course, and then you have the people who have medical conditions, which makes it impossible for them to get vaccinated, and people who are under 18 years of age, plus the group of people who has natural immunity. Are they included in this group?
Currently, they are not, mm-hmm. but we are trying to get this particular category included.
Very good. Very good. This is, I think, extremely important, because
if you get
a number of people to be accepted as having recovered and now having much more robust immunity than any vaccination could ever induce, which is, in fact, true, because we now know that these so-called vaccinations have no efficacy whatsoever. I think you just alluded to the fact that many people who are vaccinated are now in the hospitals with COVID symptoms. The same is true in the United Kingdom and in Israel. I think 86% of the people who are hospitalized with COVID symptoms are there because they got vaccinated, or let's put it in a little less direct way, after they got vaccinated. We don't know enough about causation, but there is a correlation between vaccinations and people getting sick with COVID and having needing hospital treatment.
Yes. Mm.
Okay.
Can I proceed further?
Of course, yes.
Okay, so I wanted to share this one too. It's a big win over big tech censorship. There was a channel which talked about YouTube channel which talked about side effects of vaccines, and this channel was deleted by YouTube, saying that it does not meet their community guidelines. So the person who owned the channel had approached us, and we had issued a legal notice to YouTube and Google. So I have given the link to the blog, which also has the copy of legal notice. And now the owner of that deleted YouTube channel recently got an email, which I have put in here on the slide. The channel's name was Vaccine Testimonials. And now YouTube has restored the channel, and it says that we are pleased to know that we have reviewed, and after taking another look, we found that there is no violation in our terms of service. So we have lifted the suspension of your account, and it is once again active and operational. Now, second para is interesting. We would like to thank you for your patience while we reviewed this case. Our goal is to make sure that content doesn't violate our community guidelines so that YouTube can be a safe place for all. And sometimes we make mistakes trying to get it right. We hope you understand, and we are sorry for any inconvenience or frustration this has caused. So the channel is back, and we see that this is a big win, and this is the way to go to fight the censorship, as we see a lot of videos which carry information on adverse effects of vaccines or general suppression, where a person tries to reach out to other people to highlight the side effects, possible dangers of these vaccines. The channels are being taken down. The content is being taken off the web. So Now this has set an example, so people can, you know, take this notice as a guidance and can issue such similar notices if they have, they come across any you know, such censorship in their YouTube channels.
That's a huge win. That's a huge win.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, this is going to, we need these documents. You have, I'm sure you sent them to Corvin, right?
Yes, I have sent. I'll resend. I'll make a folder and I'll send a zip file, because there are many, you know, documents. I'll compile them at one place and I'll send it across.
Excellent. Super. This is great. Again, you're a great warrior, Deepali.
Thank you. It's a teamwork and we are many. I'm just here to represent them, but we are like many people and, you know, everybody is working towards... very strongly they are working to give a pushback, a strong pushback, so we get our liberty, we get our freedoms back.
Say hi to everyone. We're connected in many ways now. We work, we collaborate on the South African case, but also on our international case.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Deepali, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.